Hello and welcome to pod 21 of the official Palace pod. I'm Chris Grierson from Palace TV, which you can watch on YouTube, eagles.cpfc.co.uk, the official Palace app, which you can download in the App Store and Google Play, and on all the social media channels possible. Well, so what have we got on this podcast? Well, I am recording this from our central London Soho office on deadline day. We're here just in case any deals happen and we need to interview the new signings here. I'm on the ground floor where we've got cameras set up just in case, always a contingency plan. But other than that, we've got a very busy podcast. We have got Lucas Perry, the new goalkeeper signing from Sao Paulo, Bakary Sacco. We'll also head over to Alex Howell, who's been out in Israel for the Academy tournament, and Statman. But before all that, here is the captain, Luka Milivojevic, talking to Premier League Productions this week.
Okay, Luka, thank you for speaking to us. I have to start with the most recent news at Crystal Palace. A new signing, Michy Batshuayi, arriving late last night in the final hour of deadline day. Your reaction to this late signing, and what will he bring to the team?
We have to be happy as a squad to have one more quality player to become part of our squad, of course. He's a striker. We know him. I know him from when I played in Belgium. He played for Standard in that period of time. After that, he's now the player of Chelsea. You know, he's the striker. He can bring us goals. That is maybe the priority in this moment. And of course, to help us to try to reach our aim, to stay in the league.
You mentioned his time at Chelsea. He scored 19 goals in 53 games for Chelsea. And scoring goals is a bit of a problem for Crystal Palace this season. The fourth lowest scorers in the Premier League, just 6 goals at Selhurst Park. Will Michy Batshuayi be able to score the goals to keep Crystal Palace safe?
He is the striker, you know. I hope so that he will be able. But that's very tricky that we didn't score many goals. But if you compare how many shots we have during this season, I think over 220 shots out or in the goal, and we scored just 24 goals.
Why is that?
You know, it's as well part of quality, maybe in the finishing. As we all said, we have to be more clinical. Maybe I hope so that we can turn, and even Michy, who came yesterday, maybe as well he can help us to change it.
And also, we saw Bakary Sacco return to the club this week. That will also give Crystal Palace another option up front.
Yeah, we also we cannot forget as well Christian Benteke is back in the team as well. He's nearly fit 100%, and we know how quality player he is. And you know that is good because now Sacco, Batshuayi, Benteke, we have now many options up front, and that is something what is very positive.
And just a question on deadline day, which was yesterday. You yourself were at deadline day signing 2 years ago. Did hearing the news about Batshuayi bring the memories back of this crazy day in English football?
Because I sleep last night a little bit early, I didn't. I found that news when I wake up. I was surprised and of course happy because he's a quality player. But you know, when you sign, last day is not so easy, you know. It's a little bit frustrated, last day, you never know what can happen. But I think he's happy as well, and very soon he will be on the pitch to try to help us.
What were the emotions and the reaction to your game against Southampton in midweek? Frustrations, I imagine, at settling for a point.
You know, I think we drop. To be honest, if I see the game over 90 minutes, I think we dropped 2 points. You know, after when we conceded the goal, everything could happen. But until that goal, I think we played good game. Maybe second half we didn't have the ball as we want. We defend a little bit deeper. We give them the ball. We try to counter them. And you know, they scored 10 minutes until the end after that red card, and in the end, maybe you can say both ways. Drop 2 points, but if you see last 10 minutes, you can say good point. But I think if we win tomorrow, that point will be big enough.
You mentioned the red card. Wilfried Zaha now missing for a game. That will be a big loss because everybody has spoken about Palace's record when Wilf is not in the team.
We break that record, I think.
We break breaking the record, but still not. It's still not great reading.
But still not great, yeah. You know, he's an important player for us, of course. We're going to miss him, that's for sure. He has a lot of quality, but on the other hand, we have a lot of quality players in our squad, and, you know, we have to prepare the game with him or without him, and we're going to try tomorrow to take 3 points.
And the game tomorrow with Fulham is a huge game at the bottom of the table. With their victory in and Palace not taking the 3 points, it puts this one on a very fine edge.
You know, we are where we are. 4 points different between us and Cardiff, and 6 points, I think, between us and Fulham. You know, there is 5-6 teams around, and the difference is not more than 6 points. You know, it's hard for every team now in this period. There is not a lot of games until the end of the season. Every point is very important, and, you know, tomorrow is pressure for us, is pressure for them, is pressure for all the other teams. But, you know, we have to deal with that. We play at home. We cannot forget that. We play at home at Selhurst, front of our fans. And tomorrow we have to show everything what one team has to show front of your fans and try to get 3 points.
The fact that you can recall the table in your head without looking at it, does that show that you are, and you and the rest of your teammates and the club, are looking over their shoulders a little bit and maybe a little bit worried about the final 14 games of the season and what's in store?
I'm looking at the table for last 2 years, you know, since I arrived. We've been, you know, in the position of the table where you have to get everything what you can, you know. But next 2 games could be decisive game for us. If we beat Fulham, then we have West Ham. But let's see and focus for tomorrow. As I said, many teams are in 5-6 points. And tomorrow, you know, we're going to try to do everything to win.
Roy Hodgson is a very experienced manager. He does not strike me as a man who gets worried, or he does not get carried away with any sort of bad run, and he doesn't seem like he would be worried about Palace's state at the moment.
I'm not worried as well, but because when you see our squad and when you see the players we have in our squad, it's very quality squad, and I think with a little bit of luck, if we had this season, we could be with 7, 8 to 10 points up. But we are where we are, you know, and we have to deal with that, and we have to prepare next games which are coming. We show that no one this season beat us easily. You know, we have to play until the end, and I think I don't see any problem, and I think that if we just carry on how we played and maybe to be a little bit more clinical in the finishing, we will not have a problem.
But what is the manager saying to the players to keep morale high? Well, what is his message to you in going into these final games of the season?
You know, we just prepare the games as always, as usual. We try to prepare the game best as we can. They give us a lot of information. We are on the pitch, we take the decisions. That's why I said we have a lot of quality players. That's why I'm not worried. As well, we are very experienced staff. And, you know, we don't do nothing different than we did, and we just will carry on.
You have been here for 2 years now. You have another 18 months left on your contract. Have you started to talk to the club about your future?
No, I didn't. I am very focused on present. I am very focused on this period of time, what is, let's say, a little bit, let's say, decisive period for us. I'm just focused to help the team, to try to save team to stay in the league, and we're going to see what's going to happen in the future.
And you are now club captain. You were made club captain less than 2 years after arriving here. That must be a big honour for you.
I said many times, very big honour for me, of course, to become captain of Crystal Palace. I try every game to give my best, to give all what I can. Sometimes it's good, sometimes maybe it's not enough, but I try all the time to give my best and to help to my team.
And a final question for this part on penalties. You are the Premier League's leading penalty scorer this season. 5 out of 6 scored. How often do you practice them? Has it always been something that you are a specialist at?
not I was not the specialist of the penalties, but you know, I practice a lot. I practice a lot before the games, and you know, I just now have more experience. You know, in the beginning it's not so easy, but now when you score many, you have more experience. You know how to put, where to put, and you know, you also watch the goalkeepers, which side they go. They scout us, we scout them, and in the end, until now, I'm successful, and I hope that's gonna continue.
Your opponent's Fulham tomorrow. Earlier this season, there was an incident where Alexander Mitrovic, their recognised penalty taker, had the ball taken off him by another player who went on to miss that penalty. Is that something that's ever happened to you? And what would your reaction be if a teammate here at Palace tried to do that to you?
No. That not happened to us. That's happened with the game against Bournemouth, I think. Last minute. Benteke asked me to shoot. It was last minute. He had problem in that moment, I think. 10-11 games he scored 1-2 goals, and I decided to give him. He missed, and in the end, you know, if he scored, we are all happy. If he missed, my fault, his fault. That was what's happened in our situation. I think totally different than situation was happening for.
Lovely man, Luka Milivojevic there. Right, now we move on to the new signing section. So first of all, I am recording this at 4:39 p.m. on deadline day, so anything could happen later on, or nothing might happen. So if something does happen, then here is the interview with whatever happens after 4:39 p.m.
Hello, Michy Batshuayi. I just want to say I'm very happy to come here. I do my best. I'm hungry to score the goal, so I do my best here. I'm very happy.
Michy, welcome to Crystal Palace. How happy are you to be back in London and back in the Premier League?
Yes, I'm very happy. The first time I want to say thank you for everything, for the coach, for the club. I'm very happy to come back in Premier League, yes.
You were linked with lots of different clubs. Why did you pick Crystal Palace?
Because the Crystal Palace, he wanted me before Chelsea, so I respect this club. I like the work, so I think it's the best moment to come here. It's the best time yet.
You've scored some big goals in your career, really important goals. What was it like scoring the goal that won the Premier League?
I'm very happy. I don't know. I can't explain this moment, but is in the best moment in the my world, I think.
And you know Christian Benteke? Mm-hmm. Has he told you much about the team?
Yes, only Benteke, yes, and Bakary Sako a little bit, yeah, because I have the same agent.
So let's move on to our goalkeeper signing. Lucas Perry joined last week from Sao Paulo, and here is the first interview with him.
Lucas, welcome to Palace. How happy are you to have signed for the club?
Oh, this is amazing. It's an amazing feeling. I'm really glad to join the club. It's an opportunity of my life.
So when did it all start? When did the transfer start?
Oh, about 2 months ago. I knew the possibility to join Palace. And since then, I'm pretty anxious to be here because I really want that.
Yeah, how big a thing is it for you to join a Premier League club?
Oh, it's huge. It's really important thing to me. It's an opportunity of my life, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to conquer everything.
So you said a couple of months ago, have you been watching Palace games on TV?
Oh yeah, all the time. Since I knew the possibility to join, I started to see as much information I could to be here and adapt as well.
Just want to get to know a bit more about you. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in Sao Paulo, in a city close to Sao Paulo called Campinas. And I start to play at 14 at the hometown city, Ponte Preta, and play there for 4 years, and then move to São Paulo with 15 years. And then I start to play for São Paulo, and now I'm here.
Yeah, it must be a big thing for a Brazilian joining a club like that.
Yeah. São Paulo is a massive club in Brazil. It's top club there.
So have you always been a goalkeeper?
Yes, yes. Since I was a kid, since I was four, I really like to play in the goal.
So how tall are you? 6'5"?
6'5", almost 6'5", 197.
Were you always the tallest?
Yes, school? Always were the tallest. In the school, always the tallest of my class.
So back at that point when you first started playing football, who was your hero?
Rogério Ceni, the goalie for São Paulo, the goalie who scored goals. And I started to play because of him.
What kind of keeper would you say you are?
I really like to protect the goal. I think it's the most important part for a goalie, but today all the goalkeepers need to play well with his feet and be best. Safety is, I don't know, is the security for the team, to gain trust of the team is the most important thing.
It seems like there's been so many great Brazilian goalkeepers recently. You had Dida winning the Champions League, Julio Cesar, and then now Alisson and Edison in the Premier League. What is it about Brazilian keepers at the moment?
I don't know. Brazilian keepers always were good, always. But for 10 years from now, they started to play here. And they have great success here.
And with Alisson and Edison, you know, they're at the two top clubs at the moment. Is that quite an inspiration for you as a young
player? Of course. They're incredible goalies, and I hope to get close to them.
When did you start watching the Premier League?
Since I was a kid. The games was played in Brazil again, the TV, where I watched the game. And always was a big fan.
So how do you think goalkeeping in England is going to be different to goalkeeping in Brazil?
I think it's tougher, because here the game is we need more strength to play here, I think. And the focus needs to be higher, I think.
We talked a lot about Brazil, but you're Italian as well, aren't you?
Yeah. The father of my grandfather was in Italy, came to Brazil to build a family.
Have you been to England before?
No, it's the first time.
How is your English so good?
I don't know. I really like American football, basketball, and watch series. So I think it's because of that.
Oh, so you tend to watch the TV in English?
Yeah, always.
Okay. Does that happen quite a lot with Brazilians now? Are they learning their
English? It's happening. They're learning.
So you're at this first day at the training ground today.
Yes.
You've done a bit of testing already. Obviously, now you're doing all the media stuff. But what's next for you? Do you have to find somewhere to live?
Yes, I'm going to see where I'm going to live by the noon, and hope I get some good place.
Do you know anyone in London?
Not at all. I think some players, but not at all.
So what's the idea for you? It's a loan, but are you looking to impress in your time here to hopefully get a permanent?
Yes, that's it.
And finally, how ready are you to play?
I'm ready. I'm definitely sure about that. I'm ready. When I call upon the first team, I'm ready. I know that.
Thanks, Lucas.
Thank you.
So that was Lucas Perry, and now moving on to a player that has returned to the club until the end of the season, Bakary Sakho. I chatted to him in the dressing room before the Spurs game. Now, this is better than the video interview we did, because the video interview, it was so hot and sweaty in the dressing room that the lens just steamed up as we went. But here is Bakary Sakho, and it's going to be great to have him back at the training ground because he's such a nice guy. Bakary, welcome back. Great to see you. How does it feel to be back at Palace?
I'm very happy to be back. But it's really I never left, to be honest.
Yeah, you mentioned in the announcement that you felt like you had unfinished business.
Yeah, because I could have stayed during the summer, but the things didn't go that well, so I had to prove my fitness after my injury. So now that I'm fit, I'm glad to be back.
I guess it must be frustrating last year that it ended, because you're in such a good run of form at that point.
Yeah, I was really frustrated, then the club as well, so because I was doing so well, but yeah, I hope I'm going to start where I left.
Yeah, would you say you're playing the best stuff you had played at Palace, weren't you, around last season, when you're playing up front?
Yeah, I learned a lot under Roy, so everything that I learned, sorry, still in my head. So I can't wait to get back on the pitch and show everybody what I can do.
Yeah, Roy said he's pleased to have you back. Is he a manager you really enjoy playing under?
Yeah, really, really. I learned so much under him, and he put the pressure on the club to have me back. So I'm very delighted.
What's it been like for you watching the team from afar this season?
I'm not going to lie, I wasn't able to watch a lot of games. I've just seen the result now. So they're doing all right, but I hope we're going to be much better.
And good to be back among your mates. I know you're good mates with Christian, yeah. Mamadou and Wolf.
Yeah, and the main reason why I come back, I heard they were sad without me. Yeah. So I want them to be happy. That's why I came back.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Cheers.
So that was Bakary Sacko, and now we're going to head across to the other side of the world. Alex Howell headed out to Tel Aviv because the under-19s were playing a tournament out there, but he's going to tell you all about it. So take it away, Alex Howell.
Thanks, Chris. We went to Israel with the Palace under-19 squad for the Maccabi Winter Tournament. I caught up with Joe Hungbo, the eldest member of the squad who has recently joined Margate on loan, and chairman Steve Parrish.
So you've been to Israel before?
Nah, this is my first time, nice country, nice views, nice beach, and hopefully I can just gain all the experience I can here, work hard for the team and hopefully get the results we need and win the tournament, but it's the first time for me. Really first time, yeah.
That's just slightly different to where you've gone on loan now. You've gone on loan to Margate, haven't you?
Yeah, it's basically, the other side of things. Margate, everything's, serious and tense. A lot of things on the line, but coming to Israel, it's just a different vibe, a different sort of area. So it's just different. I'm just taking things on as I go on, and I'm just learning new things every day. So, it's really good.
How different is the game playing in non-league in men's football to the under-18 game or an under-23 game?
I think in terms of non-league, everything's more physical, A lot of people throw themselves about a bit more, it's more intense because they're fighting for 3 points at the end of the day. So in terms of everything, in terms of 18s, you're fighting for 3 points as well, but non-league players are fighting for food on the table. They're fighting for that extra bonus. But with the 18s, they're just developing. So it's just different, and in terms of the outcome after it, there's just so much more in terms of non-league than it is 18s or 23s.
Okay. So how do you think this tournament, there's four Israeli teams, one from Holland, and yourself, how do you think this team, how do you think the football will compare?
I think in terms of the football, maybe just the different type of football we'll see today than we'd normally see. Maybe the teams will keep the ball on the floor, maybe they'll loop it up, but no matter what the situation is, we've just got to adapt, because that's why we want to be footballers, to adapt to different cultures. So it could be different, it could be the same, but it doesn't really matter, really. We've just got to put in the performance.
And how much nicer is it being in this heat than back at home?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic, in England, it's snowing right now, -1 conditions, but here, nice breeze, you got the beach, everything's all nice. So hopefully we make the most of it in the matches we play, and hopefully we get the results we can get.
Cheers, Joe.
No problem.
Steve, we're in Israel for the Maccabi Under-19 Winter Tournament. How important is it for these players to experience different cultures as part of their development?
Very important, I think. And also challenging themselves football-wise. Obviously, playing away in a different country. The boys only arrived yesterday, long flight, early start, all the kind of things they'll have to adapt to if they make it, to the top of the game. So I think on both levels, on football, culturally, it's an amazing place, as you've probably already seen. Obviously a part of the world where there's so much going on, so much historically, so many things that are happening now, some good, obviously some not so good, but I think it's all important for people to understand that. And for a lot of the lads that we've brought, once in a lifetime opportunity, I wouldn't think it would be something they would normally, a place they would normally think to come, So I'm really excited and very excited to see the first game. Excited to, you know, mix with the boys and see what they discover about this place and how much they enjoy it or what they find out about it, really.
And how did the invite to the tournament actually come about?
So Ben Mansford, it was actually Joel Ward's agent when I first met him, when we signed Joel back in the days in the Championship, became the chief exec out here. And, you know, we've always stayed in contact, and he said to me, you should come out and have a look at what we're doing. And Jordy Cruyff was the coach at the time. So I came out on a visit and obviously understanding different football, different parts of the world, how it all works, where they find their players, how they manage their players. And Maccabi had a very successful period, you know, even got into the Champions League group stages, I think, at one point. So, and then we just out of that, we had conversations, and he said, would you consider bringing it? We have an under 19 winter tournament, their winter, not our winter, you know, they're not our winter. Would you consider bringing a team? So, you know, I thought it was a fantastic idea, broached it with the academy. Obviously, there's a lot involved in us bringing a team out here, but they were supportive. They felt it was something that would be good for the boys. So we made it happen. So it's very exciting to see it all come, all the plans come to fruition.
And I know you've been out here, you mentioned Ben. Do you know much else about the other Israeli teams involved in the competition?
Well, Batar Jerusalem, who are playing now, are obviously the big team in Jerusalem. Not so much about the other teams. I think the first team we're playing are the second biggest team in Israel. So Maccabi, obviously, I know well anyway, and I knew well through Ben. Batar Jerusalem, there's actually a fascinating Netflix documentary that's worth watching about them. So, you know, it's a very, very unusual part of the world, and football is obviously a massive sport here. And I'm learning more about it as I go along and more about the teams. Hopefully, the only thing I want to know is we're better than all of them.
And last month there was a big news about the academy. You've got the 75-year lease at the academy site. And how important is that going forward to help the development, along with trips like this, of the young players at the football club?
Well, you know, I think, as I've often said, football clubs, you know, it's very difficult to get from there to there in one jump. You know, you've got to go through the gears, really. And we all know how successful our academy's been over the years. But we know that that's not always been because of the facilities that it's had. And it's becoming a much more competitive world on recruitment. And obviously, we've got both a great catchment area, but a fair amount of competition with the bigger teams around us. And we'd fallen behind, and it was very difficult to find a piece of land. So the fact that we've secured this piece of land for 75 years and beyond, if we want it, which to all intents and purposes is freehold land, really, in an inner city location where the boys can get to quickly, so we can still use our uniqueness, you know, the kind of thing that have helped find these players. And hopefully we can uncover a lot more. It will need more investment. And that's all in the pipeline, and we're looking at all the plans and what we do now. So it's just a massive, massively important step for the club to leverage what is one of its biggest assets, which is where it is. The two things, the stand and the academy, will really mine, if you like, the big advantages that we've got because of our location. And if we can do that, I think it can see us in good stead for a long, long time. I mean, you have to remember, when I came, more or less everybody played on the same pitch. Yeah. You know, we didn't own our own training ground. What is now the first team training ground was where everybody trained. All of the, you know, 180 boys in the academy were either at the Crystal Palace Sports Centre or that training ground. We rented the location at Goals. Obviously, a bit sharing the site hasn't been ideal. And now we've secured it, and we'll have all of it. And it will just be a massive sea change for the club and the staff. And hopefully we'll see the outcomes in players that we bring through.
Another topic on investment. It's a January, it's always a busy month for football clubs. How have you found this month to negotiate? Is it different to others?
Well, I think we are trying to be calm about what we do. It isn't a great window to do business. I think, you know, that there are opportunities rather than the things that you can make happen, and you've got to look at each opportunity and shine a light on it, and will it make us better? There's a lot of noise around transfer windows now where everybody just wants you to do something, but I think it's important to do the right thing. So we're very excited about the keeper. I think if we get that finalised today, that'll be an exciting one for the future. And we've got maybe one or push two other things that we might be able to do before the deadline. Unfortunately, you know, it's been well reported that probably the one that we wanted to bring in the most, we didn't feel would help us in the time because of an injury situation. And we think now that, you know, what we're looking at can help us. So that's the important thing. If we're going to bring something in, it's either got to be for the future because it's an opportunity like the keeper, or it's got to be something that can genuinely help us now. Everything else is just noise, really. So that's what we're looking at. Dougie's working hard. Unfortunately, we couldn't all come. Dougie was due to come. We hoped that we'd have everything done by now, but we haven't. So he's had to stay back holding the fort and trying to put things together with the manager, and we'll see what we can do.
Cool. And so always a busy football week for you, but this one's especially busy. You've got the tournament and you're getting back in time for Sunday against Spurs. What do you think of that tie? Obviously a great FA Cup tie at Selhurst Park.
It's amazing, isn't it? You know, that the draw throws up these things. Obviously, the last time we got to the final, you know, we beat them at their place. Look, I think it's a great occasion. Everybody's saying that we've got a chance because of the players that they've got out. I think we'd have a chance anyway. You know, we've beaten Tottenham and we're, you know, we're a good side. I think probably there'll be some changes. I don't know what they are. Let's just hope it's a great game. And, of course, for all the fans, first of all, for some fans, it's a chance to come and enjoy Selhurst Park because, you know, there's tickets available often when they're not normally available because of the season ticket situation. And also, it's an occasion for all of us to just relax a little bit and enjoy a game of football, you know, rather than the pressure that sometimes is on in the Premier League. And I hope if we do that, we can get a great crowd, we can get great support, we can have a great night.
Yeah, it'll be a great game. And as you said, it's a nice break from the Premier League. But after that game, we've got two massive games, Southampton and Fulham. It's been a really tight Premier League season. How do you see the rest of it panning out, especially those two games?
Well, I've given up second guessing it, I think. You know, look, what we need is to understand that we can win or lose every Premier League game, every single one. So nobody's got a right to be in the Premier League. You've got to get to, you know, that magic 38, 40 point mark. So they will be massive, massive games, and we need to be on our mettle. We need to get points from them. So we all want to pull away from, you know, looking down and start trying to look up, because I think we're a good enough team to do that. But we can't keep bemoaning luck and, you know, all things that I would agree, I don't think have gone our way particularly. But, you know, the results are results, as Roy would say. You know, he's more realistic than anybody about that. You know, you don't get what you deserve often, you get what you get. So we need to focus on those two games. They're very important for us, as are the rest of the season, and make sure we retain our status and hopefully do better than that, you know, and look up the league a bit.
Thanks, Steve.
Pleasure. Nice to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you. Thank you.
After the tournament, we caught up with Gary Izzet, Academy Director, goalkeeper Rohan Lufra, and captain Martin Unuwabagbe.
Gary, the tournament we started with so much promise, but it wasn't what you'd hoped. How would you sum up the tournament?
I think it's probably what we expected it to be. We come into an under-19 tournament and we've chosen to keep our under-19 group at home to either be with our first team or go on loan. So it was largely three or four under-18s with the rest under-17s and under-16s. So going into the games, we were given away, you know, 2 years, and even with our 16s playing, it was 3 years. So we knew it would be physically and, you know, psychologically a massive challenge for the group.
But just how physical were those games? It's more than anyone expected, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, the players will have learnt so much. I mean, looking at the games, the first game, I think we were very unlucky. We drew 0-0. We should have had two penalties. And then going into the second game against Excelsior, you know, we were 2-0 up at half-time and played some wonderful football. And then conceded a penalty and just didn't have enough mental and physical power, really, to stay in the game late on and end up losing 3-2. And that was a critical game, really, because it sent us into the last game of the first day. Or sort of second day, sorry, and we were 1-1, had a player sent off and then conceded in the last minute, which meant, you know, the last two games we couldn't win the tournament. But, you know, today, which has been the last day, we've had a narrow 1-0 defeat and then a 2-2 draw. But I think, you know, as a coach trying to summarise it, I think the draws and the narrow defeats are probably wins for this group where they are, you know, giving away so much in age.
I was going to say, those situations, you couldn't have built them better in a session yourself, could you? For players to learn from them, the referees' decisions and late goals.
No, that's correct. And this is why you need to play tournament football as part of the players' development. You know, playing against foreign opposition, playing in situations that you find yourself in against referees and you know, late goals, like you say, that can really affect confidence. But it's, you know, overall it's been a great football experience.
Rohan, so tournament's finished. How did you find it?
Tournament was good, actually. It was better than I expected. It's nice weather, which went along with it as well, so it's good.
And still on the football, lots of different cultures, different way of playing. How did you find playing against?
I think the Israeli teams were more physical than what we expected. And obviously it was an under-19 tournament and majority of us are under-17. So I think in that sense, the physical sense, we dealt well with it. And I think we kept our playing style that we normally play in England, which was good. So, yeah.
And you personally, how do you think you did in the tournament?
I think this is probably the best couple of games I've played in a long time, to be fair. I've played 3 out of 5 games and I thought I did quite well in all of them, really, so happy with that.
You never know who's watching. I think the chairman was a fan of yours, so...
Yeah, the chairman gave me a couple of words in between every game, really. Said he was pleased with me, said I should carry on doing what I'm doing. It's good to hear from a personal sense, like, someone so high up, obviously, is watching you here, and obviously... He likes how you play.
And we're in Jerusalem now, so it's about an hour away from Tel Aviv. What do you think of the city?
It's fantastic, honestly, it's breathtaking. You can just see it yourself, it's amazing.
Do you know much about Jerusalem?
I don't know much, actually. I don't really know much. I was trying to speak to Andy Hinks earlier, with our staff member, but he was in awe of this, so he couldn't really tell me much.
Cool. Nice one. Cheers. Thank you. Martin, 5 days, come to the end of it, 5 games in 3 days. How do you think the trip's gone?
The trip has gone fairly well. Football-wise, not great. Could have done a lot better. Hopefully next time, or if we come next year, we'll try our best to get a better result. But overall, the trip has been great. Like coming here, coming to see the sights has been amazing. It's something that most people in their lives wouldn't even get a chance to do. So that's a really positive sight for everyone.
How difficult was it to adjust to the football from being in the training camp, being with teammates all the time, and then going to play that amount of games?
Obviously, it's quite demanding physically, because obviously 2 games in 1 day, and in 3 days you're playing 5 games. That's crazy. That's for most people. Obviously, at our age, it's not going to be easy whatsoever. So everyone had to adjust. Everyone had to work hard, maybe play in different positions that they may not be used to. So obviously, it had to be a team effort. That's the main thing.
And had to stay with a teammate. Who did you room with?
I roomed with Kian Trahi.
So centre-back union, how was that rooming with him?
It's all right. It was all right. Obviously, we get along regularly, so rooming with him was fine. No problems. Obviously, we had a few nice conversations, got along, so everything's good.
Hear any bad stories about anyone getting room with someone they didn't want to be?
Nah. We're all good with each other. Everyone's all right. Everyone's always friendly. So everything's all right, yeah.
And we've come to Jerusalem. What are your thoughts? Special place.
Jerusalem, special place. Even special to me because I'm Catholic. Obviously, I grew up in a Catholic church. Pretty amazing to see where Jesus was buried. I know if my mum would say, she would probably cry. So, yeah, I really loved coming here. It was amazing.
And coming with your team, Crystal Palace, and coming here, was that a different experience? Obviously, somewhere so steeped in history for people.
Yeah, I think it was a good experience for the boys. Good experience to see something amazing, something that, again, most people would never see in their life, yeah, so.
And as captain, what would you change for next time? Is there anything you'd like to do next time?
Not really. Obviously, this time was a learning experience, so obviously, now we know what we're going into next year, especially for the football side of it. We know what we need to do, what we need to prepare for, how the refs are going to be, how the atmosphere and the weather's going to be, so we'll prepare for that. And obviously, if we did get a chance to come again next year, we'd like to see more of what of Jerusalem and Israel, and see more places that we didn't get to see this year.
Cool, really
thank
good.
You. Thank you.
Cool.
And from Israel and Batsman, next up is Chris and the Statman.
Statman.
Thank you very much, Alex. I am here with Statman, whose jingle has just been played. Statman, we're in central London today. This is nice, isn't it?
It's lovely, isn't it? We're set up, ready to go, just in case of any potential signings. I mean, we are on deadline day, aren't we?
We are, yeah. It is deadline day, as I mentioned earlier. So it is just a waiting game to see if anything happens. And if it doesn't,
I'll go home and have a bowl of cereal or something.
Good. Well, that's a lovely evening you got planned. Lovely, yeah.
So, should we talk football?
Let's. Do you know what? Let's not just talk football. Let's talk the best side of football, Chris. Let's talk the best side of football, which is stats.
Yes.
Isn't it?
It is.
What would football be without stats?
Football. Without people talking about it.
Exactly. Now, you've hit the nail on the head there. It would just be football. There'd be no discussions afterwards.
Yeah, well, boring.
Now, let's kick off with the big one. And I know we made a big deal of it, obviously, as a club. And so we should have done. And that was the Tottenham game. The one stat I was holding out for. And I didn't know if we'd ever get it, especially after the Liverpool game. But that is that Spironi now has the outright record for the most clean sheets ever for a Crystal Palace goalkeeper, overtaking Nigel Martin.
Yeah, that was incredible. We finally got to use the graphic that was made over a year ago. But also, when I told him afterwards he'd broken the record, he didn't think he had. He thought he had another one to go.
He did. We got him in Spironi's restaurant afterwards as well. And I think that it had broken by then. But he was quite confused, wasn't he, beforehand. But no, amazing. 112 clean sheets he's got now. And, you know, I'm just pleased, like, as all Palace fans thought, like, was he destined just to be level with Nigel Martin? Because he's lucky to have got that game, isn't he? You know, and especially now we've got the other keeper in, you know.
Yeah, all the keepers are back fit. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, he could play again this season. You never know. But, I mean, if he doesn't, then it's an amazing, amazing way to do it, knocking Spurs out of the cup, keeping a clean sheet. And what a lovely man as well.
What a lovely man. Let's roll on then. Let's talk Fulham.
Fulham, your local team.
Yeah, you're trying to throw me under the bus there, aren't you?
Although, saying that, I mean, I live in West London now, so they are my local team as well.
They are, aren't
other
they?
Than like, Harlequins, which obviously aren't a football team. But I'm not really a rugby fan, so.
Richmond boy, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
Born and bred.
Well, no. Move to.
Okay. Anyway, enough of Fulham. Let's.
It's still south of the river.
It is. No, it's not. It's north.
Yeah. Is it not?
It's north. Yeah.
Oh, don't.
We are the only Premier League team south of the river. Have you gone out with marketing comms?
No, Richmond is south of the river.
About Fulham.
No, Richmond south.
Richmond.
Of the
river. Yeah. Well, I'll give you that.
Okay. Try and set up north of the river.
Right then. Right. Let's talk Fulham.
But yeah, I know the brand is we're the only Premier League team south of the river.
Yeah. Okay. We got them. Right. So Fulham. So we haven't played them at home for a number of years now. 4.5 years since that game. I think probably. It stays in the memory of Palace fans, that 4-1 demolition.
Is that because of Adrian Mariappa's goal?
No. Funnily enough, it's not. It's, I've forgotten his name now, the Fulham lad. Kasami's volley, which was a pretty damn good goal. And the fire drill going off. Do you remember that? Shahid Khan, the Fulham owner, was standing out on the balcony at Selhurst Park.
No, I wasn't there.
No, okay. You weren't there?
No, I was actually back in my acting days. I was doing a show that night.
Was this the Hollyoaks days?
No. No, that was in a successful time in my career. No, this was towards the end. It wasn't pretty.
These were the dark days, were they? Anyway, memorable game. Not really for the right reasons from a Palace point of view. But anyway, that was the last time we played them at home. I'll be honest, these stats, looking into them, they are a hugely mixed bag here. There's good, there's bad. There's not one team really that comes out particularly on top. So let's just start with the mix then, like a random bag, a little pick and mix. We'll start with a bad one then. And that is that, I didn't know this, but Fulham actually have a really good record at Selhurst Park. They've only lost once in 11 league matches here. So
yeah, they used to, I always remember them being really good against us back in the days when they had Louis Saha.
Yeah. Strong old player, wasn't he? Yeah, absolutely. Saha was there. Barry Hales, all of them.
Barry Hales.
Who would have thought Barry Hales gets a mention on this Crystal Palace podcast?
He was brilliant.
Yeah, he was old Basil, wasn't he? Tottenham fan. But anyway, that's irrelevant. Fulham wise, then. So. That one.
Very good.
You're going to use that, aren't you? right, yeah. The one defeat then from Fulham's point of view was 2-0 October 2004. Goal scorers?
October 2004. What, Andy Johnson?
Yeah, thank you very much. And what was the goal?
Penalty.
Thank you very much, yeah. And?
Oh, Aki Rielati.
Well done, yes. Yeah.
Gretchen!
That's very good. And you've not looked at my sheet, okay?
No, I haven't. Honestly, I haven't.
I know you haven't. I've spelled
just to guess. I've interviewed both of them, and I'm sure they've mentioned
that game.
Yeah, I think so.
Nice, nice. Well, there you go. There it comes out. Then, but let's look at this one then. So, although they have a good record, if Fulham lose, though, they'll be the first time, this will be Premier League history, but the first time ever that a London club has lost 8 consecutive London derbies. So Fulham are not in good form in London derbies. And Palace, though, we're not particularly good in with London derbies either.
We?
Yeah, we.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah, just checking. Just because we're playing Fulham, I thought you might say.
Yeah, again, you're trying to throw me under the bus here. I don't know what you're on about here. I'm Palace, mate. This is really...
You're very downbeat today. It's because you're... It's because you're having to say we about Palace when they're playing Fulham.
I'm Palace, mate. You know I'm Palace.
I'm Palace, I don't know what you mean. Putney, I've never been to Putney.
Come on.
I've never drunk in the Rocket.
Let's not give the guys...
Best Wetherspoons in the country, by the way, the Rocket and Putney, right?
It's a strong one, yeah.
Oh, lovely. Riverview.
The railway used to be my...
Oh, on the crossroads by the station?
Near Fez Club. Which is closed.
Which I've never been to.
You should have done.
Is that the one where the dance floor is in an S Club 7 video? Does the dance floor light up under your feet?
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's closed now, though, Chris, so you can't go there.
People are going to hate this, talking about West London on a Palace pod.
Yeah, they really are. They really are. Let's not talk about West London anymore, because we're all Palace, so let's talk Palace. Palace then. London derbies, so one just 4 of 28 London derbies, but one of those wins was in the reverse fixture against Fulham. So, could they do it again? We shall find out. And then moving on then, managerial-wise, Claudio Ranieri then, he does not have a good record away from home. Not recently. Oh, no.
No.
He's not won in 20 away Premier League matches. And with Fulham... Then, so obviously, he had that bad run with Leicester at the end, and then with Fulham, played 5 away from home, won none, drawn 1, lost 4.
Not good at all.
But annoyingly, Ranieri actually has quite a good record against Palace. So he's won all 3 of his matches against Palace.
3. That's not great, is it?
Yeah, but all 3.
Can we go back? Actually, I'm going to do my thing that I do where I go back and tear apart stats, okay, like Roy would do in a press conference. So that one about the London derbies.
Right, which one? Well, Fulham or Palace?
Palace.
Yeah, one just 4 of 28.
Well, of course we're going to have a poor record in London derbies because with Fulham, getting relegated before, the only teams in London that we play are going to be like Tottenham, Arsenal, Chelsea.
West Ham, Watford. We do count
Watford. Watford doesn't count.
Ooh,
that's not a London derby. That's not a London derby.
I tell you what, just before the game comes, you're all like, oh, come and see this London derby.
Yeah, I know, just to wind people up. And now I've realised it's me that will get wound up.
It's a good point, though, to be fair. They're tough games, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's like saying we've got a poor record against the top 4. We don't actually. We've actually got quite a good one. But anyway, it's always misconceiving, isn't it?
It is. Anyway, carry on.
Tearing that apart. It's more the record Fulham against Palace that I'm worried about. Fulham's really good record against at Selhurst. So that worries me, and Ranieri's good record against.
Does it worry you?
It does worry me because I'm a man of stats, and stats worry me.
Okay.
They keep me up at night.
Okay.
I tell you what, though. I mean, I do genuinely. You'll love this. That Palace v Tottenham game, I was on the edge of my seat from about 25 minutes onwards. Just the thought of Spironi breaking that record. That's all I cared for. Honestly, if Spurs had scored, the game's dead to me. But he didn't, and that's what I live for. So.
Where'd you sit?
I was in the boxes that day.
Oh, of course you were. Which one?
The centre one, yeah. Middle of the goal.
Really?
Yeah, well, it was a nice one, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. You've watched the game from up there?
Never. Never been to a box.
Okay.
If anyone in corporate hospitality is listening, I'd love to bring my dad to a game in a box.
You've been before. We've
I haven't.
On a
I haven't.
Pod.
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah. When
Legends
I,
with your dad. Your when dad I
got
the,
no, no, it wasn't Legends. It was Coppel 2010. But that was when I got the job. Yeah. And no one told us we were getting food. So my dad went for like chicken and chips in Aussies in Addiscombe first. He came and then he got given 7 courses. He nearly he's diabetic. He nearly died.
Is this what made you vegan as well?
Yeah, that was the last time.
Okay, right. Anyway, any more you want to tear apart or can I move on to my final one?
No, move on.
Okay, so we've had a huge mixed bag then. As ever, let's try and put a positive spin on this from a Palace point of view. Let's put a positive spin. And that is that Fulham Ooh, if this was a Fulham pod, they'd just be highlighting this straight away. Their defence, mate. Their defence, we can't look past this. It's been atrocious. They've got the worst defence in the top five European leagues.
Really?
I've
that bad?
Oh, I've looked it up, mate. I'm not kidding.
Because they bought so many new players in the summer and then they just couldn't gel.
Potentially, I guess. Alfie Mawson's been injured, I think, as well. And they've had a few. They've just changed it loads, haven't they? Different manager. Just not got it right at all. Let's hope they don't get it right as well.
Let's hope.
But yeah, 53 goals they've conceded in 24 games. The next worst in Europe is a team called Guingamp.
Oh, yeah.
In France. You heard of them?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know them well.
I do. Well, I've played Football Manager in France before.
Hey, what colours are they playing?
Green?
No, I don't think so.
No? Oh, I'm going to look it up now.
Yeah, have a look.
Keep on talking.
Right, okay. I'll keep on talking. Guingamp. I would guess red and black.
Do you know this?
No, I don't. I wish I'd looked it up now. But you just seem particularly confident with your football managing knowledge.
Oh, no, they are red and blue.
Palace. There we
no,
go.
Red. Oh. Red and black.
There we go, yeah. So, yeah, can you apologise?
Oh, they've just beat Monaco.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I was just guessing.
Right, okay, Guingamp. Anyway, with the next worst. But they've got a long way to go still. The worst ever in Premier League history. Most ever goals conceded. Which team? Do you want to take a guess?
Derby County.
Well done, well done.
Because they were absolutely atrocious once upon a time.
They were. 07-08 season, picked up 11 points and shipped 89 goals. But that, my friend, was in a 38-game season. Premier League, at one stage, was a 42-game season and Swindon shipped the most with 100.
Why do we ship goals?
That's a very deep point. Why does one ship a goal?
Where does that come from?
Where does that come from? To ship a goal.
We'll research that and we'll let you know next time.
Yeah. No, we all say that and not once have we done that.
No.
No, okay. But if anyone knows though, could they let us know?
Yeah, that'd be good. Let us know. Tweet me at Chris Grierson. Yeah. You'll probably spell it wrong, but keep trying until you get it right.
Yeah. At cpfc.co.uk.
No, just at Chris Grierson. Oh, Twitter.
Right, right, right.
Twitter.
Social. We're going social. Don't email me.
Grandad. All right, Grandad. Yeah. CG1 at tiscaloo.co.uk. Chris and Statman at NTL World.
P.O. Box 203 405. Yeah, no, anyway, yeah, no, tweet him. Go on, be all 21st century and tweet the guy.